Support for this podcast is provided by Willow, a video interviewing platform for scaling businesses. As the talent market evolves, you're probably thinking about how to build a more inclusive candidate experience that doesn't require long days on Zoom, Teams, or Skype. Willow is a virtual interviewing platform where candidates can record responses on their own time using video, audio, or text. And it's used by some of the fastest growing businesses like Coinbase, Hotjar, and HelloFresh. Willow's flexible platform means candidates can truly be themselves, and recruiters get a consistent, transparent process. It's also excellent for the candidate experience. 35% of candidates interview with Willow between the hours of 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. Willow also integrates seamlessly with over 5,000 business applications such as Workday, Workable, Lever, Greenhouse, and TeamTailor. There's a free trial to try everything, and if you need more, Willow's tailored plans include features to help you expand your talent pool and streamline recruiting operations, all with 24/7 live support. Request a personalized demo today at willow.video. That's willow.video.
There's been more of scientific discovery, more of technical advancement and material progress in your lifetime and mine than in all the ages of history.
Hi there, welcome to episode 629 of Recruiting Future with me, Matt Alder. Providing a quality candidate experience remains a significant challenge for many organisations. This challenge has been intensified in recent years by evolving candidate expectations, volatile talent markets, shrinking TA teams, and technologies that have yet to be designed with the candidate in mind. However, are we on the cusp of an era where technology, rather than making the candidate experience worse, can actually help provide the high-quality, personalised candidate experience we've all been seeking? My guests this week are Luke Smith, Talent Acquisition and Experience Specialist at Toyota GB, and Ewan Cameron, CEO at Willow. There are lots of great insights in this discussion about what is possible now in terms of personalisation and what will be possible in the future. Hi Luke, hi Ewan, and welcome to the podcast. It's an absolute pleasure to have both of you on the show. Please could you just introduce yourselves and tell us what you do?
Cool. Thanks for having me, Matt. My name is Luke. My official title is Talent Acquisition and Experience Specialist, and I work for Toyota GB. So we are the sales and marketing functions of Toyota and Lexus in the UK.
Hi, Matt. Pleasure to be here again. I'm Ewan, the CEO and co-founder of Willow. And we produce the video interviewing software that's helping employers in over 150 countries get to know the human behind the CV.
Awesome stuff. So I'll start by asking Luke a question to give us a little bit more background about, you know, what you do in terms of talent acquisition. How does it work? Who do you recruit? What are kind of the volumes that you deal in? Give us a little bit of background about what you do in terms of your team and your organization.
Cool. Thanks, Matt. So at TGB, we have quite a long length of service, which means that we do loads of internal moves, and therefore our external recruitment is much less. And because of that, we're able then to dedicate more time to supporting with that recruitment. So we've got a couple of bulk streams in terms of our emerging talent. So internships, students and graduates. But in terms of our experienced hires, we can dedicate a lot more time to be able to give them a great experience with them interacting with us before they then hopefully join at the end of the process.
Tell us a little bit about the experience that you have, or what makes you different from, you know, your competitors in terms of the way that you do recruiting.
We really think it's great to have a personalized recruitment experience for all of our candidates, but also treat them like customers. We want people to come through the process, and even if they don't get the outcome that they were hoping for, so they don't get hired or don't get the job that they had applied for, we still want them to be brand advocates and still think about owning a Toyota or a Lexus vehicle or one of our kind of mobility solutions. So I guess that's key in all that we do in terms of you know, thinking about their experience and how they are left feeling, even if they don't get, yeah, the outcome that they were hoping for, which ultimately is to be hired, I should think.
And what are some of the ways that you do that? Because it's obviously an aspiration that lots of organizations have. And whenever we talk about the candidate experience, you know, people sometimes say quite similar things, but that doesn't always kind of reflect, you know, in the full flow of, you know, how they recruit and things like that. How does your process kind of reflect those values and those objectives?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, we've got Ewan here to talk about the video interviewing platform that he kind of supports with. And that's something that we really rate and we really value. That's a way for candidates to bring their CVs to life. But also in terms of our recruitment funnel, it means that when people have got through that part of the process, there's kind of less people to be able to give a personalized experience to. So traditionally, if we were looking at a traditional kind of recruitment funnel, they'd have applications, CVs, and then there'd be some kind of telephone screening, which when you've got a lot of candidates to get through, it's really tricky to give like a genuine kind of supportive experience. And with the enhanced level of having a video interview at that point, first of all, completing the video interview and getting through to the next stage, candidates are already bought in. They already think that they've already feel like they've got to the next part of the process. So they're more willing to, first of all, give their time to you, but also they're kind of bought in when you speak to them about the kind of the next steps. So the first or the next interaction from that is for us to give them a call and organize the next part of the process, which is a face-to-face interview, where we'll answer any questions that they've got. We talk to them about all of the stuff we do to be able to support them as a candidate, to enable them to be their best when they come and meet us face-to-face. And there are those points where we're able to, because we're not rushed in those points, we haven't got loads of those calls to make, we're able to spend a bit more time to get to know the candidates a bit more. And we use that information that we gain in those conversations throughout the process. So it might be that, you know, we've called somebody to ask them if they'd like to come for an interview, and we can hear the dog in the background. And then that's kind of a bit of a running theme for us. So when they come in and meet us, we can say, you know, how's your dog? Or, you know, are they still barking at the postman kind of vibe? And even when we go through to the offer stage, if they've talked to us about a time that they can't make the interview because they're going on holiday, then at the offer stage, you know, we talk to them about what their holiday is going to look like. And, you know, it might be a celebratory holiday, you know, get an extra bottle of bubbly out on the beach when you've, you know, had good news from us, kind of thing. So yeah, we use the information to be able to personalize their experience a bit more, because we are people ultimately at the end of the day.
To take a step back and perhaps bring you in at this point, one of the things I hear quite often from commentators in the space and some sort of TA people as well is, you know, video interviewing in itself is impersonal and unfriendly, and candidates don't like doing it. And it sounds to me that actually, in your experience, that the very opposite is the case. What view do the candidates have on the video interviewing aspect of this? And is there anything that you do to make that feel friendly and personalized?
This is obviously one of my favorite questions to answer, because it was really the founding reason for starting Willow in the first place was, candidates, and Luke mentioned a minute ago, candidates in traditional hiring processes would submit a CV, submit an application form, and then, if they were lucky, they got a telephone call during the working day, and it was 30 minutes, and it was pretty impersonal, and it was normally quite rushed, and that was the process traditionally. And if you zoom in on the telephone screening part in particular, having spoken to hundreds of candidates about that telephone screening part, they didn't like that part. That part is not personal. It's not enjoyable, and it's really inflexible as well. And I know, I'm sure we've all been on this call. We've all had telephone screening at some point in our lives. It's normally like 2 PM when you're already working. You've got to like run out to the doctor's or go and sit in your car, or like hide through the back of the office or something. It's just a horrible experience. So candidates don't like that. And this is the real reason that we wanted to create something more flexible like Willow. So Willow they get the link from, you know, Toyota or whoever it is. They click on that link, and then they get to answer the questions in their own time. And that's the key to making the experience more enjoyable and more personal. The fact that you're actually willing to accommodate their schedules and put them in control is massive. That's huge. So although they might not be speaking to a person one-on-one, the benefits of having the flexibility and the control far outweigh that. And we see that in the data. I mean, I was just saying earlier on to another customer that about 70%, depends on the day of the week, but around 70% of our interviews on the platform take place outside of normal 9-to-5 working hours. So 70 to 75% of people getting an opportunity to do something that they wouldn't otherwise have had the opportunity to do. So there's a huge amount to be said for the control and the flexibility that the folks like Luke are giving the candidates that they otherwise wouldn't have. And I think that, as I said, makes up for any kind of omission of that one-to-one conversation, which, like I said, is normally quite rushed and quite stressful anyway. So why not give the candidates full control?
Luke, what do you do to really market the culture and the company during that early part of the process when, you know, you don't have the luxury of speaking to people individually, as you say, obviously you do later on? How do you make sure that the culture and the personality and the benefits of the business and the role really come through?
In terms of our adverts, we had some really great feedback that our adverts probably weren't indicative of our culture and the roles themselves. So we worked really hard on kind of revamping those and recreating those. We also had some feedback that they might be slightly biased in terms of kind of level or experience. So again, we've worked really hard at taking out all of the acronyms and making them less kind of gender biased by using some online tools where you can pass the kind of the language through and it'll give you pointers in terms of how the advert's looking and what you're appealing to. And in terms of, I think you talked about, the question was around culture, wasn't it? So one of the things that we've introduced recently that we haven't had a lot of people take us up on the offer, but I think knowing that we do this is an indication of the culture that we're trying to promote, but also that, you know, we really are trying to enable people to be their best when we see them for face-to-face interviews. So what we've introduced and what we're offering is some mini, like pre-interview, mini meditation sessions with one of our wellbeing ambassadors. So at our Eco HQ in Surrey, we've got like a gym and wellness facility. And as part of that, we've got some people to support with people's wellnesses. So yeah, something that we offer is a mini meditation session, sort of pre-interview, just to try and alleviate or support with these kind of candidates to be their best, but also to get some of the nerves out the way, to talk a little bit about the role and what their kind of barriers might be in terms of being able to be their best in that kind of face-to-face interview with the manager.
And do many people take you up on that?
We haven't had a lot of people take us up, but I think just knowing that it happens is sometimes enough to put people at ease. The people that have taken us up on the offer have really kind of embraced it and enjoyed it. And this is another thing, you know, like we've said previously, we want people to go away, even if they don't have the outcome that they were hoping for. We want them to go away feeling good about the process. And actually having something like that as part of the process, I think gives people that kind of good feeling and a good buzz about, you know, the interactions that they've had with us as an organization.
And to circle back to the video interview part of that, what do people say about their experience during that part of the process?
I think, you know, the way that you worded your first question to Ewan, which was around, you know, people feel like it, you know, something that they wouldn't want to do or they feel a bit alien about it. I guess the key things for us and the reason that we like the video interviews as part of our process is, first of all, it's an opportunity for the candidate to bring their CVs to life. And, you know, CVs can be quite dry. They're quite linear and one-sided. So the opportunity to bring those to life, I think, is a real opportunity for the candidate. But also we want to, you know, if we're looking at our kind of internal potential model, which is what we use to base our questioning criteria on. A part of that is agility, and we want people to kind of be agile. So it's actually okay for it to be a completely alien process if somebody hasn't done it before, but they're really willing to embrace that kind of new technology and give it a go, even if they're not comfortable doing it. For us, is, you know, quite a big green tick. If we've got people that kind of say, you know, this is outside of my comfort zone, which I'm, it's too far out of my comfort zone, I'm not willing to take it, or, you know, I don't want to try something new. The technology kind of, you know, scares me a little. You know, it might be that ours is the wrong company for them to kind of join.
We'll get back to the show in just a moment, but I wanted to take a minute or so to talk about something that I know is critical for you all right now. Talent acquisition is going through an unprecedented transformation, and many of you are likely in the middle of planning your strategies as we move through 2024 towards 2025. We all know that operating models, change management, and aligning TA with corporate objectives are essential parts of any transformation strategy. But with the market and AI technologies in particular evolving so rapidly, there's a real risk that your strategy could quickly become outdated. That's where strategic foresight comes in. It's a proven methodology that helps you build credible future scenarios, create agile strategies, and most importantly, have a proactive influence on what the future of talent acquisition looks like, both within your organization and across the industry. I know you're busy, so I've created a concise online course that breaks down strategic foresight into easy-to-learn tools specifically designed for TA transformation. It's quick to implement and will keep you ahead of the curve. You can learn more by visiting mattalder.me/course. That's mattalder.me/course. There's really never been a better time to shape the future of talent acquisition. So don't miss this opportunity to make a lasting impact. How long has it sort of taken to design and refine this process? And, you know, what kind of benefits have you seen along the way? Have you speeded things up? Or, you know, what's the kind of evolution of your recruiting process been like?
This is the third or fourth company I've introduced video interviewing to. And it's always been a kind of a positive experience. One thing that the hiring managers are really short on is time. So if you are enabling the manager to spend less time screening candidates and interviewing, but the time that they have dedicated to spend in those interviews and in those screenings, that the candidates are more relevant, then that is kind of a big win for us. So we're finding that managers are seeing less candidates, but they're more relevant, and therefore the percentage of face-to-face interviews to actual hires then goes up. Instead of having CVs and telephone conversations and booking in 5 interviews, we're having CVs, video interviewing, then telephone conversations, and then maybe booking in 2 or 3 really relevant interviews.
Are they sort of typical numbers and benefits that you see?
Yeah, definitely. I think I was just actually while you were chatting there, folks, I was just looking up some of the kind of the emotions. So we have a survey at the end of our process, and the purpose of that survey is to really capture the emotions that candidates feel as they're going through the hiring process. And interestingly, I'm just gonna call out some of the stats here, because it's quite interesting when you look at these. So these are the 4 emotions that candidates report them feeling through that process that Luke's just described. And 23% of candidates are saying confident is how they feel when they get through to the Willow screening stage. 30% are saying happy. 20% are saying excited. And then 13% are saying relieved. So those are the 4 emotions, which I think is quite interesting. So confident, happy, excited, and relieved, which I think if you look at traditional hiring processes of, you know, grilling interviews face to face, or, you know, phone screening interviews that are completely cold and during the day, those emotions are very different from what we see. So it's quite interesting that process that Luke's describing there, particularly when you're enabling hiring managers, you're getting hiring managers probably feeling quite happy and confident as well about the process. It sounds like an overall, you know, better experience, which we can see in the data there. I mean, that is based on 223,000 candidate responses. So it's a fairly good sample size.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. I think that sometimes in the discussions about recruiting processes and how we improve them, people don't always benchmark against what things were like before or what things are like, before, innovations came in. So I think that's really interesting. It's always interesting to hear it from the candidate's perspective in terms of how they really feel about it. Luke, you mentioned, I think you said this is the third company you've worked at where you've introduced a video interviewing technology. What is it that you look for in a provider, and how do you kind of go about putting that into the process?
Like the experience that we're trying to deliver, we want all of our providers that we work with to be on a similar kind of wavelength. And if there is a question that we have that maybe the provider doesn't know, then what we want them to do is to kind of ask why and then think about the question that we've asked and maybe implement some kind of improvement. I know that we've had a couple of suggestions to the Willow platform that we've shared with them, and those implementations have kind of come about. So it's great to be able to then influence the platform, not just for us as users and our kind of customers or the people going through the process, but also then for other customers of Willow as well, in terms of improving the platform and improving the process. So that's important for us, really.
Tell us a little bit more about the rest of the recruitment process, because you were talking about how you we're gathering information about people to help things feel more personalized. How does that sort of that personalization, that customer centric approach, how does that kind of go through the rest of the recruiting process?
We get lots of kind of data from having these conversations, and this isn't kind of numerical data that we can put a marker on, but it is picking up little parts about people having children, or they've got pets outside of home, or they love baking, or whatever it might be. So just continuing those conversations through the process. We've had times where we've sent out confirmation emails previously and not heard back from people in like a quick, timely manner. And we make those assumptions that then they're not interested, when actually, because we've had the conversation beforehand, we know that they're on holiday or they're flying at that point. And the reason they haven't replied quickly is because they're away. So it's kind of nice to have those kind of nuances to be able to support the process. But also it's really great to be able to, as part of the onboarding process, to say, I hope you had a great holiday. Please send us a copy of your passport, whatever it might be. So I think just continuing that throughout the onboarding process, as well as the recruitment, just makes people feel like we care, and they're individuals and they are customers of our service that we're providing.
And what do you hope the future might look like? Because obviously, we're in a time of sort of huge technological disruption and innovation, and lots of things going on in terms about how talent acquisition looks like in the future, how the recruiting process evolves. What are your hopes going to happen? How do you think things could improve from a candidate perspective, from an efficiency perspective, from a quality perspective? What do you hope is going to happen next?
I like the idea of having less kind of admin and the pen pushing stuff to do. But I think it's really crucial to retain those personalized touch points with candidates. We don't want them to feel like a number. We want them to feel like their application matters to us, and to be able to enable them to be their best, we want them to put a lot of effort into their application and effort into kind of their preparation for the interview. And to support them and encourage them to be able to do that, we need to treat them like people. So, I mean, there are elements in our bulk recruitment in terms of student and kind of graduate recruitment where we've got, I think our record is like 1,700 applications for our student roles. It would be amiss to suggest that we were going to telephone call all of those candidates or even have time to, video interview them and give any time to responding to those video interviews. So there has to definitely be some kind of automation to support us to get down to that level. But at those points where we say, you're not being taken forward to the next part of the process, or your application isn't being taken forward to the next part of the process, that it's important that we give feedback as to why that is, or an indication as to what we were looking for and didn't see in that application, so that they've got a good experience.
So you're really looking at as much personalization as you possibly can on a human perspective. You know, are there other ways that technology might help you to do that?
I mean, I don't know. The technology's moving at such a fast rate, there might be something in the pipeline that's going to be able to really support us to do that really well. I'm not sure that we're completely there yet. And because we don't do a lot of external recruitment, it's kind of tough to kind of comprehend what the possibilities could be. I think maybe in terms of bulk recruitment, there's probably something extra we can do just to make sure that we continue to give that great experience. But yeah, I mean, we're definitely open to suggestions. So if anyone out there's got any suggestions about how we can keep the process personalised but also automate it, then we'd definitely be interested in hearing.
Ewan, that sounds like your cue to tell us about how technology is going to develop to make sure that recruiting is as personalised as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the piece that Luke mentioned there, which sort of stuck out to me, was that to be personal at scale, you have to automate certain things. And, you know, if you're talking about 1,700 graduate applications, obviously you can't manually go through every single one of them, and because you just wouldn't have the resource, like organizations don't have the resource to do that. But at the same time, you do want to give an element of personalization to them all. And I think this is where AI and automation will have a place in the future. And it's already starting to have in Willow and in other platforms, it's starting to already have a bit of an impact. So for example, in the Willow platform, one of the key actions that folks like Luke and his team take is they'll watch the Willow interviews and then take notes, like shorthand notes. Now, obviously, having the ability to look at this over and over again with hundreds of different customers, the notes that they're taking, certain parts of those notes can be automated. For example, there's just certain bits of information that candidates reveal that we can capture through AI. You don't need to watch that and listen to that and then note it down. And then, like, you know, for example, Luke mentioned that the candidate might say that they're on holiday next week. That's an amazing piece of data that you would want to extract from an interview, because like Luke said, you can then use that to tailor your response. So there's no point badgering them next week if they're on their well-earned holiday. But what Willow's working on is being able to actually extract some key information like that and surface that to Luke's team, so that the person that's then delivering the personalized experience has that information to hand. That's exciting, because I think that's where you can deliver personalization at scale and become a person that's able to deliver a better experience than before. And it's technology that's enabling that. Technology isn't taking that away. It's not automating it out. It's actually just putting it at your fingertips. Because like I said, people spend a huge amount of time sifting videos or sifting audio data, which is unstructured data. We would normally refer to that as unstructured, for these pieces of structured data. And what we're seeing with AI is the ability to actually turn that unstructured data into structured, which you can then do something with, which is quite exciting. And the possibilities are obviously endless. You can do whatever you want with that structured information once you have it. I'm excited about what the future means for delivering a personalized experience, not only for candidates, but also for customers. And you obviously spoke about the fact that Toyota GB treats candidates like customers. We see it in the customer realm too. So it's interesting to see how the ability to apply technology to certain interactions allows you to personalize at scale. So quite excited about what that means in the future.
Luke, one of the things that kind of really strikes me about this is, in some ways, the technology itself is irrelevant, because it's all about having that kind of core strategy about we want to treat anyone who applies to our roles as a potential customer and give them a great experience. And that's really the guiding light that goes through all of this, isn't it?
Definitely. They're a customer of the role that they have applied for, but also they're a customer for the wider brand in terms of Toyota and the mobility solutions. And we wouldn't want anything to happen as part of the recruitment process that would, kind of put them off Toyota as a brand.
And very lastly, Ewan, tell us a little bit about your new ebook that's come out.
Absolutely. So I'm very pleased to say that we launched our most recent ebook, and it featured Luke himself. So Luke was actually one of the contributors to our most recent ebook, Ebooks Hiring Humans. And the purpose of that ebook was really to look at AI in the context of hiring humans. So the context is really that Willow was founded by Woody and I to help employers hire people, real people, not paper, not CVs, not resumes, but real people. And how do you get to real people? Well, you need to see and hear them. And you need to, you know, see that full 360 degree candidate. You can't just read a bit of paper. So we were obviously founding based on this ability to hire people. And then AI sort of came to the forefront. It's maybe a bit of a buzzword as well at the moment, but it came to the forefront. Now everyone's talking about AI. And there's also this huge question mark, well, how do you hire real people with AI? And that was obviously the purpose of the ebook, was how do we successfully do that? And hopefully I just touched on that a minute ago. There's a huge amount of application for AI, but the applications for AI in our minds, in our world, need to be for the benefit of those human interactions and making better human interactions than we had yesterday. And that's exciting, but there is a lot of kind of, I guess, challenges to navigate. There is unfortunately organizations and players out there that are, you know, completely sort of automating out the process, so that the AI is making the decisions. That's quite terrifying for both employers and candidates. We don't advocate for that, and I don't believe that will ever be the future. I don't think anyone wants to live in a world where their future employment is decided by, you know, a black box of AI. And it's not great for employers either, because at the end of the day, companies are people and their success is based on people. And if they don't really know how those people got there in the first place, then how are they going to have success in the future? So there is a lot that we've tried to tackle in this ebook around implementation successfully while still retaining this human element. And Luke's obviously shared his views in that book, which are great, along with a number of other experts in the industries, to try and, I guess, break down a lot of those concerns and a lot of those myths as well. There is a lot of noise out there, which is not necessarily helpful.
I will make sure that I put a link to that in the show notes. Luke, Ewan, thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks for having us, Matt.
Thank you.
My thanks to Luke and Ewan. You can follow this podcast on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or via your podcasting app of choice. Please also subscribe to our YouTube channel by going to mattalder.tv. You can search all the past episodes at recruitingfuture.com. On that site, you can also subscribe to our weekly newsletter, Recruiting Future Feast, and get the inside track about everything that's coming up on the show. Thanks very much for listening. I'll be back next time, and I hope you'll join me.
This is my show.